plan is, first of all, this is for the 1997 standard, not for the new 2012 standard, for the 15 microgram per cubic meter standard. We obtained that standard based on 3 years from 2007 to 2009, and we've continued in attainment to that standard for all monitors on both the Missouri and the Illinois side. Because 2007 to 2009 was the first 3 year period where we attained the standard, we're using 2008 as our base year in this maintenance plan. Now, in order to have an approvable maintenance plan, the goal is to project the future year that's going to be 10 years into the future after EPA approves the plan. And you have to develop an emissions inventory for both your base year, which for us is 2008, and then we're going to have a future year of 2025, which would give EPA until 2015 to approve the plan. Now, the goal for the maintenance demonstration is that your total emission inventory in 2025 that you're projecting is less than it is for 2008 for direct PM25, NOx, SO2, and then there's also other precursors, ammonia and volatile organic compounds. Now, for transportation conformity, only NOx is a precursor to PM25 and direct PM25 are regulated and required to be included in motor vehicle emission budget per the transportation conformity rule, unless if EPA or the state has come out and said that one of those other pollutants has a significant impact on vehicles that need to be addressed in the plan. And no such distinguishment's been made for St. Louis area in regards to those other pollutants. So the only pollutants we're including in our motor vehicle emission budget is NOx and PM25. So, take a breath here. The whole point is that all of those pollutants are going down when you're comparing 2008 to 2025. But you're including not just mobile source emissions, you're including point sources, area sources, and non-road mobile emissions. In addition to the on-road is just one piece of the puzzle. So as long as you're demonstrating that emissions are going down, you're saying we know the level of emissions that is needed to attain. That's what we did in 2008. As long as we're all kept in aggregate, we're going to continue to attain the standard. That's maintenance demonstration. Now we kind of went into the way that we projected these 2025 budgets. It was basically just our projection of emissions using the motor vehicle emission simulator MOVE. And we had a couple of assumptions that Joe discussed with everybody last week. We're still using all those assumptions when projecting our future year emissions. However, in our maintenance demonstration, you're allowed to overestimate your mobile source emissions as kind of a conservative approach. That way you're not going to cause any problems for transportation conformity, for one, and you're not going to think that you're going to get much lower emissions than you're actually going to be able to do in the future, too. And we've had some discussions with the East West Gateway, Illinois, PA, and also US EPA in regards to these motor vehicle emissions budgets since Joe had distributed them last week. What we're showing is that, you know, we're easily meeting the maintenance demonstration in for the entire non-attainment area. Therefore, we have what's called the safety margin, which is how much lower our 2025 aggregate emissions than what we're projecting in 2025. How much lower are those aggregate emissions than they are in 2008? That's called your safety margin. Now, what you're allowed to do is you overestimate your mobile emissions for the future year, and you're still well below your 2008 level of emissions. And so your safety margin goes a little bit smaller, but you're still protected from air quality and you're still meeting your maintenance demonstration SIP requirements. Because of some of the coordination we've done with East West Gateway and Illinois EPA and US EPA since our last meeting, there's a lot of uncertainty with the budgets that we had distributed regarding the future year budget for 2025. Some of that uncertainty can come from the age distribution that we use. If folks start buying, you know, don't buy new cars as fast of a rate as they had back in 2008, then the whole fleet age can get a little bit older. So you'll have to use that in transportation conformity when projecting future years. There's also uncertainty in the source type, like fleet mix, the source type population. If more people start buying trucks in the future instead of passenger cars, that could potentially affect your projection of emissions in the future years. And then there's also uncertainty with the long-range transportation plan. We developed the budget for 2025 based on what Moody's projected based on our assumptions would be. Now, at least with Gateway, when they do their conformity determination, they have to also project where emissions are going to be in 2030, 2040, and maybe even 2050 as we get a little further, as more years go by. So what we're proposing today, we're going to increase those draft budgets that Joe had distributed last month. We're going to increase both the PM25 and the NOx budgets for 2025 by 20%. And we're still well within our safety margin, so we're going to be able to meet our SIP requirements. Now, and I can tell you what the numbers are going to be based on that 20% number. For NOx, it would be 19,882 tons per year in 2025 and beyond. And for direct PM25, it would be 640 tons per year for 2025 and beyond. Now, that's what we're proposing today, and we've been coordinating with EPA. Currently, we believe that this is going to be okay. We've looked at some SIPs in the northeastern state, one in Martinsburg, West Virginia, for example, that's done the same exact approach. I think a lot of it has to do with uncertainty regarding moves, which is a new model that's especially being used for transportation conforming. And we just want to make sure we're not causing any unnecessary problems for transportation conforming, especially when we have a safety margin that we can use to overestimate these mobile emissions and still be protected of air quality in our plant. So we're going to continue to coordinate with EPA, obviously, on all approvability issues in our plant. But until you hear otherwise, we're going to move forward with this 20% increase in the motor vehicle emission budget for 2025 and beyond. So I wanted to just kind of set through the whole IACD. Let anyone bring up any concerns or questions they might have, and say that's kind of what we're proposing to move forward with. I believe we're planning, if we can, to move forward with the public hearing at the end of January. There's a Missouri Air Conservation Commission meeting, I believe, January 28th, which means our goal is to post our entire maintenance plan by December 28th or 27th of this year. Now, if we hear that there's going to be questions about either the budget or other aspects of the plan, then that could potentially delay it, but that's our goal currently. And I think before we would change what I'm telling you today, we would certainly bring back to definitely East West Gateway to make sure and MoDOT and the whole IACG so that any changes that we would be making to these budgets before moving forward with the plan. So, does any of that need to be repeated? Is that kind of clear as mud for everyone there?
No, I think you did a great job explaining it, Mark, that we have room, and so our budget last time was based on a straight model and didn't account for uncertainty. And I think most of the members here understand how safety margins are allowed. So I really appreciate your explanation.
Yeah, are there any other comments? I don't know, Lumen, did you want to add?
No, just pretty much along the same lines as Joe, that, yeah, thank you for your explanation, Mark, and I do agree with what everything you've said, and Mike would agree as well, that there are so many variables that go into it, and it's the best we can assume today.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. It's a new model. There is a lack of data and the form or the details that's required to run it. So if the law permits us to have this little cushion from 20%, I think that would be really very helpful, because he rightly pointed out, Mark rightly pointed out, that in the next long-range plan, currently in the last one, our analysis here was, the horizon year, sorry, was 2040. It will go out further, and the maximum gain we have in terms of emission rates and everything is in the earlier years because of cleaner engine, better fuel. And then you go out further, it means we see this tremendous dip in the near future, and then it's a gradual increase. So this would help in future as well.
Deal with the uncertainty of that going forward. And I think we talked yesterday about the long-range plan. We'll be working on that next year.
Correct. So by the time this gets approved and everything, we will be having 45 as our priority.
Yeah, we've used safety margins and maintenance plans in both Chicago and Metro East area. I mean, the law allows it, it does provide some latitude. I mean, the maintenance plan is a good thing. You're attaining a standard, and as Mark said, you know, the acid test is that, are your future year emissions below your level of emissions in your attainment year? And if you have, you know, a big cushion, then you, it's just good planning to be able to account for that so that you don't get caught up with some of these micro areas. So, I mean, we have done that ourselves, and we just think it's good planning.
Okay. Mark, let me ask you on the timeline. If it goes to Air Conservation Commission in January, we're still looking at a fairly lengthy approval process.
Sure. We would probably be looking at a March adoption by our commission meeting, which would mean early April, very late March, we would be submitting the plan to EPA, would be put in it. Now, EPA is allowed, but just like they did with the early action plan that Joe was talking about at the APWAC meeting, they're allowed to find the budget adequate prior to acting, either approving or disapproving the plan, which they might do. Traditionally that doesn't always happen. Sometimes they do the adequacy and the approval all in one whack. So our goal is that at least that the plan will be approved by 2015, by December 2015. That way there's a 10-year window. We've met our obligation for projecting the future years at least 10 years beyond the approval. So that gives them, that'll give them roughly 2 years to get the approval done. And then as for the adequacy, it'll be kind of up to EPA if they determine that they want to. I think it's that the whole IACG can be involved in, you know, what is the urgency and what's the, you know, the opportune timing for these budgets to come into play. So if they don't, you know, cause us really throw a wrench into like a currently ongoing conformity determination where you guys have already done all the modeling, and then now we say, well, now you've got to look at these budgets. We don't want anything like that to happen either. I think it's coordination between the whole IACG, EPA, East West, Get West, will come up with what is the best approach there for when we can try and time it so these budgets come adequate and East West, Get West can anticipate.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That was my concern, that April is in the middle of our funding determination process.
Right.
The 15-19 tip. Yeah.
But the
and we would then have to figure out Illinois would be one way, Missouri would be another way. We just get a longer document.
Let's let me recall currently. We do not have a budget for being 2.5. We're doing build, no build.
Yes.
I believe I said that last month, but I need to refresh myself.
Yes, and we use 2002
base
emissions.
So.
And but, and it's done regionally, or we do, figure out from Missouri, figure out for Illinois, but it's a regional test that counts.
But if it goes to EPA in April.
But once it's submitted, then you have to use it.
No, once it's deemed adequate.
EPA has to find it adequate before you guys would even be allowed to. Of course, once they find it adequate, you're required. But it doesn't have to do with our submittal. It's based on the adequacy findings by EPA, which will be published in the Federal Register.
Okay. And then the EPA would work with us if they would deem it adequate prior to approving the whole plan, but the adequacy process probably takes a minimum of about 60 days, as we just saw with the early action plan. So we can coordinate with EPA when it would be most effective to have deemed adequate.
Based on our experience in Chicago, we submitted a maintenance plan for PM 2.5 in Chicago. with budgets, and they took forever. And actually, they did not act expeditiously to find it adequate. It took years, and just recently, just in September, they proposed approval and adequacy that time, because there's just some complications dealing with PM 2.5, the transfer, and the CSAP rule, I mean, the CASPER rule, all sorts of different things. So they weren't as aggressive at finding the budgets adequate as they have been with Old Zone 6. So it may not, you know, come about in that 60-day time frame. Okay.
Hey, if I might, this is Stephen Brown, Region 7 CPA. Hello?
Yes, Stephen.
Oh, sorry.
Welcome.
Sorry. Hey, thanks. I came in a little bit after this discussion had started, but a couple of things that is worth mentioning is the budgets that Mark are talking about. The NOx portion of that budget is completely separate from ozone. I just wanted to say that. And then second, I wanted to also second what he was saying and concur with Mark that, yeah, we would work directly with you guys from Region 7 here, and if you needed to have that budget go through the adequacy process sooner than later, then, yeah, we're more than willing to do that based on your planning needs. And also based on this early progress plan, which I just sent out a letter, or at least a copy of the letter, that doesn't finalize, but at least gives our finding from the early progress plan, those budgets. I'm in the process right now of typing an FR notice that will be published. And then 15 days after that, then those budgets become active. I think even with us being off, it still didn't take, or is not going to take, that long. I'm thinking maybe 60 or so days to go through the entire process, maybe 65 days, right around there. So if there's a rush on that, I'm thinking around 60 days, 65, we may be able to cut off, a few days off of that. So that's kind of the timing of a rush situation.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen. That's good. Well, I don't think there's anything else to say on the topic. It sounds like we've got, I think the timeline should work out for us in terms of the way we'll proceed with our next annual conformity starting in January. So I think we'll be all right. And Lubna is here, and she's brought along her new model, modeling assistant, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You want to introduce?
Sure. This is Sam Lee. He's the newest addition to our modeling group. It always takes us a year and a half to find somebody, so we're very glad to have him. And he's picking up on stuff, and I thought it was a good time to introduce him to your quality stuff as well.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you waited a while introducing to the interagency group.
I thought I'd give him the 6 months to have it settle down.
Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Sam Lee. Actually, I'm originally from South Korea, and I'm fresh out of the school, graduate school in Tucson, Arizona, University of Arizona, and I just joined the March 1st of this year. I'm still performing a couple of things.
Really happy to have Sam. His doctorate was sort of data analysis, more of a transit.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing we want. There's a lot of transit related activity, air quality. And if you're into large databases, you can deal with everything. So we're in that time.
Now, what? You have a doctorate then, did you say?
Yes.
And where is it from?
University of Arizona.
University of Arizona.
Oh, okay. Very good.
How'd you get up here?
it took great effort.
We'll be doing both traffic and air modeling and air quality monitoring.
So the idea is to sort of have him picking up on travel demand modeling, and I wanted him to just work with me for air quality as well. So even though he's not doing it right now, it takes a while to pick up all of these little nuances. So just sort of make the curve quite flat, give it a lot of time. I want him to stay there. Hopefully in a year or so, you should be able to
move it in. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, next up on the agenda, if you recall from the last meeting, we had an interesting discussion that cropped up on the South County Connector project over hotspot analysis of emissions included in our user guide. And so I think I'll just turn it over to Mike to further describe
what's going on. Well, just to recap, we had the opportunity to put our document into practice, and a couple of questions came up. One of them was with the issue of one of our questions dealt with DMT, and we had a percentage and also a total vehicle number on there, and whether or not we should change it or leave it the same or add an and or how do we want that particular question to be asked?
That first question.
Second question. Well, what is the percentage of AADT of diesel truck traffic of the affected roadways, and if diesel truck traffic constitutes greater than 10% of total AADT, or at least 10,000 trucks, then you consult with the interagency group. We thought that in the example that we had 11.7%. Percentage of diesel truck traffic, which is over our 10%, but that only amounted to a total of 5,000 vehicles. So by the way it reads, I would look at that as we're over on the 11.7%, so that would need to, that project sponsor would need to consult with the interagency group to get some advice on whether or not a hotspot analysis is warranted in this situation. In speaking with the project sponsor, I told them I felt confident that I could go to the interagency group and everyone would agree that the 5,000 trucks would not constitute them having to spend the extra money on a hotspot analysis. So the question comes up, do we want to leave it the same? I think as I thought about this more, in this situation, the worst case scenario is they have to ask the question to the interagency group. And, or somebody within the interagency group, in this situation with myself, to give them some advice. In that situation, if we had to put or, I guess my question would be, is there some way that we obviously want, let's look at this in the situation, if they had to go through and do another, or if I give them the advice that they don't have to do a hotspot analysis, and their EIS is submitted to Federal Highway Administration, and Federal Highway Administration, NHPA, would have the final call on whether or not a hotspot analysis is needed. They could say, we agree that with your determination that a hotspot analysis was required. So,
is that actually the case?
They have the final say. Even if in this situation the interagency group said, no, we don't think that it requires a hotspot analysis. And so they move forward without doing a hotspot analysis and submit their final EIS for signing to Federal Highway Administration, EPA. They could come back and say, we're not going to sign that because we feel like a hotspot analysis.
You know, I think it's part of the project of conformity analysis. There's a console the Federal Highway folks will engage with EPA on that element of the NEPA document. But at the end of the day, Federal Highway makes the call because they're Federal Highways who signs the document. But Federal Highways, and I think EPA's expectations are, the issue here is what you consider to be a significant truck use. So there's some criteria here that has that word or in there. I think the idea of changing it to and makes all the sense in the world. Because if you go and or, then one or the other is going to trigger it. And that, is that really
kind of a nebulous thing. I mean, in this situation, we've got our percentage is over, but the total number of trucks that equates to is well under what we would consider.
That's what I mean. So when you say
a project of air quality,
if you put the and in there, you have to pass both of those.
Yeah.
And this clearly wouldn't do that, so you would be in.
Yeah, but even with that, you won't see those numbers in the 40 CFR. That's a number that this IG group in this region has to come up with. Now, we've had to come up with the, 10% or at least 10,000.
And really, those numbers do come from PRACIA. I mean, we adopted those as our numbers because that was an example. But it said in the CFR that these are not numbers.
They're not supposed to be.
Unless the interagency group from your region determines that that's what you want to use.
And it goes back to what does this group for this region consider to be significant truck use? And right now it's 10,000 or 10% of the ADT. And if that's what you want it to be, it's fine. But if the reality is in a scenario where you have 11.7% and it's only 5,000 trucks, you look at it and say, well, that's not significant. But what's confining us is the verbiage. Well, then you go with and.
I'm open for suggestions of how we might be able to clarify that to lessen some of the questions.
Does this lessen the questions? I was thinking to clarify what we discussed last month. It seemed to be the intent last month, and if that is the intent, why not make it two? It has to satisfy both of them, like Brad said.
That's where we're at currently. But if you say that it has to satisfy both, then you go right to the 11.7, and that's going to indicate that you need to do a hotspot analysis.
No, it has to be both. It's not over 10,000.
Okay, yeah. Well, okay.
If you do and you have to pass both.
11.7% would have to be, the percentage would have to equate to over 10,000 trucks. But the group has to decide, is 10,000 trucks in a scenario like that, is that significant?
Well, first of all, you got to also take into consideration the overall ADT that you're looking at. And, you know, something, we've got 125,000 out there. This road doesn't even come close to that to get an 11.7% to equal 5,000.
And, you know, when you really think about it, the last, number one has the end, but it's 125,000 AADT and at least 10,000.
Yeah,
whereas the second one is 10% and 10,000, which equates to 100,000 AADT. So they're kind of conflicting anyway, but maybe it ought to be 10% and at least 12,500 trucks if you're going to stay with the, you know, either way, one and two have got to line up.
Well, you just made me think of something that that 10% or 10,000 kind of even lessens the threshold for, because it's all about truck traffic. Does everybody agree? I mean, it's all about truck traffic. So
then what's described in one?
We're even going a little bit farther by saying 10,000 instead of 12,500.
Yeah,
like Brad said, they're kind of in conflict.
So your suggestion that we put and in there, I think that works fine.
And then line them up though. If you're going to stay with the 125,
go with 12,500 on the second.
What's with the group
one? No, I think we stay with 10,000.
Stay with 10,000.
Then change the 125,000 to 100. Either way, you should line it up.
No, I don't think so.
Or you change the 10% to 8%, because that's what the 125,000 to 10 is equal to, 8%.
And 8%'s been thrown around, but it's not supposed to be used as a, it was just a more or less a guide. But the RAC group makes that call.
But as that initial guide, that's where you can start. You're right, it's not a requirement.
That way you line them up.
But that's what we adopt.
Right.
That's what it boils down to. I mean,
right.
What was the group's thinking then? Did we go with the 8% to 10,000?
If you want a recommendation for me, I'd say we leave it at 10% and put and in there instead of.
Right.
If we do that hike though, then shouldn't we say it's greater than 100,000 in number two?
In number, yeah.
So it lines up, so it's still the 110, it's consistent. Because otherwise that's 8%.
That's fine. In either situation, I think we've got very few roads. The big picture is we've got very few roads that are even going to reach 100,000 paid.
So the second thing would read, if diesel truck traffic constitutes greater than 8% of total AADT and at least 10,000 trucks.
I think he's saying 10% and 100,000.
Yeah.
But then in number two,
change 125,000 to 100,000. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. To make it
exactly the first one.
Change that to 100.
Gotcha.
And at least 10,000 of that AADT, but it's almost just a repeat of
number two. I don't think it was 100, that it was a war. The big question is going to be Stephen,
how's it seem to you, this suggestion?
It seems really reasonable to me. I don't see a problem with it at all.
You know, really, it's what this group is going to agree on. And we're changing this now. This is going to be a dynamic document that, as we put it more into use, we'll have opportunity to come back and revisit it.
Right.
I want to throw out something else.
Well, can we agree?
Let's get past this first.
Yeah.
Can we agree to this?
Go ahead, Mike. What we're doing right here is making this more stringent.
I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think that would be.
Right. That's not usually what we do.
But I have a question. So, okay, by changing this and making it more stringent, does this automatically cause the group to, does this trigger a hotspot analysis, or does it trigger further analysis?
I think we
trigger discussion.
It says consult with IECG.
And that's reasonable.
Yeah.
It triggers discussion.
Yeah.
There's so many different variables, as you guys know, that, I mean, if your truck traffic is a certain amount and you're near, an intermodal or something else, I mean,
sure,
it's a whole new ballgame there. So, I mean, it's hard to define, really.
So, I guess, Stephen, it doesn't necessarily trigger full-blown hotspot analysis. What it really triggers is just bringing it back for discussion with the IG group.
Which I think is perfectly great.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Just opinion, though.
So do we want to proceed with the way we outlined it there in red?
Somebody else want to make a motion to?
Well, I just had a couple questions before we call the vote or whatever you can do. Because at number one, I don't know, I think it was okay the way it was. That would probably be the popular, maybe 270. I don't know what hits 125. The second one, and is kind of brings it down to a little lower level. Now, number three, my question is it if one or two, then you go to three, or if your affected facility, flood wall services D, E, or F? So,
now, I think you
is that another whole?
You need to consider all of those questions.
So, I mean, that's kind of that would be a little new, a bit of a new addition, isn't it?
The functionality that comes straight out of the regs. So now those are additional. I mean, you could answer no to the first two,
and yes on the third,
and yes on the third, and then again bring it to the interagency group to ask the question. In this last example, the project sponsor, I got involved with them because of. They asked me to review the environmental section of the EIS, and when they said that to me, you know, there were two things that stood out to me, that and what we're going to talk about next. You know, I saw the 11.7%, and I'm thinking, well, that's over that limit, so I would go to the interagency group and ask the question, hey, do we want to look at this?
Right.
I told them I felt comfortable that we were well aware of what we need to
do. You know, Betsy, in regards to your reference to number one change, I think, well, the only reason why we're changing number one, or we could change number two, the actual numbers in it, is that as it was written before, you're dealing with 125,000 total count and an 8%, and number two, you're dealing with a 10%. That equates to 100,000. So what we're trying to do is just make them consistent. We could make it, if you keep it the same up in one, then you'd want to change it in two. If you go with two, want to go with two, then you got to almost change it in one. I think that's why we're doing it. It's either 8% and 125,000, or it's 10% and 100.
Like Mike Rogers said, we're making it more stringent the way we're proposing here, but I still don't think that it's going to come into play very much.
I don't know how we are though. I don't know how we're making it more stringent if 10,000 is.
Well, we went from 125,000 total AADT down to we dropped 25,000.
More. I understand question number one. More time for question one being yes because we dropped it.
What's the difference between 125,000 and 8% or 100,000 and 10?
Well, two different questions. So more of them will fit the yes on number one because we lowered it number down. Then you get to question number two. And what you're saying is question two really isn't affected by our change. Question one has been threshold has been lowered.
So what do you think?
The basic change is the 125 versus 100.
And putting the end.
Yeah.
And versus the old.
It's in red up there.
But it's that which is going to get more yes.
Yeah, I don't think it affects.
It has the possibility.
I don't
think. But you know, we have very few roads that this is going to. I mean, and we have to be building new projects. I mean, this South County project is a new project.
And also, even then, all they're required to do is come in for a consult. That's it. It's not saying they have to do it, hotspot. If it's something which we feel just as this project.
I agree with you. And I think it'd be nice if a third party looked at this and they said, does that trigger a hotspot analysis? No, it triggers the need to go back and discuss with the IG group. And then now I'm that third party and I say, well, then if they could then think, they could then say that they recommend a hotspot analysis and then you say yes, or they may say no, and that'll be their recommendation. Then the next question would be, well, what do they consider? If it does come to the IG group for consult, tell me what the IG group considers to make that call, thumbs up or thumbs down. We ought to have maybe something down the road where if it happened tomorrow and it was laid here on the table, what would we consider? Now, some examples, I think Stephen mentioned an example.
Wait,
we kind of need it. We had some, what this group would consider.
We've got the really, the only one around here was the Mississippi River Bridge EIS hotspot analysis that was done for the new Mississippi River Bridge that had certain amounts of levels of traffic involved in that and came up clean.
Yes, very much the contact.
What I meant is, we're, they look at this and it meets the 10%.
Project sponsor?
Project sponsor uses this and it hit the 10% at 10,000, 100,000 and 10%. Well, we need to send this over to the interagency group. We don't make the call that that triggered a hotspot analysis on the project sponsor. Let's send it to the IG group. That's what this says to do. Now, when it comes here, what I'm saying is that
they're looking at this document. They're going through these in their air quality analysis of their EIS.
No, no, no. I understand that. And then they hit this, and it's clear to them, we need to send this back to the IG group. And now, if they were to ask, now, what's the IG group going to consider to make their determination whether they're going to come back and tell us, we think it needs a hotspot analysis, or we don't think it does? That's what I'm asking. We ought to have a checklist.
I think these are the checklists. This is the checklist. But for example, if you had no on the 1 and 2, and you had a yes on 3, then you go to the IG group, and the IG group would say, oh, there's only 3,000 trucks.
We're going to vote on a project if it comes to us. That's kind of, I mean, if you have a project that's, and we change it to 100,000, that's 125,000 AABT, and it's got 15,000 truck traffic. There's no question there. If you've got something, like in this situation, that's 11.7%, but it's only 5,000 trucks, that's a gray area, according to the rules there. So you consult with the interagency group, and we say, no, we, you know, you're okay.
Say you're okay on all these, with the exception of 2, and it comes here for consult. How do we make the call?
I think I understand what Brad's saying. It looks like what we're setting up is criteria for just coming to talk to us.
Yes.
Then it's going to say, okay, when you're talking to us, what are we going to be thinking about? What's the next bar that you have to pass? I think when this was originally set out by USEP and Federal Highways, it was, hey, we're not saying that this has to be, but for a hotspot analysis, a good place to start would be 125 and 8% equals 10,000 trucks. And that's kind of what we're massaging right now. So I think, even though that the question says, okay, now you have to come to talk to us, this is really the criteria for what a hotspot analysis required is.
And that's why you're discussing it, because it didn't trigger it before. Now we're saying that maybe it should trigger it automatically. So I see their point. My question is, now that we've changed, what's the difference between 1 and 2? If the total traffic is at least 100,000 and it's 10%, it's diesel traffic.
It
throws a
percentage. 10%, so 1 and 2 now are the same thing.
Yeah.
So in this situation, we've got 11.7%.
But why do we have two questions?
Which is less than 10,000.
It wouldn't trigger a consult. That wouldn't trigger
this
consult.
Not, it, it's changed.
For South County Connect.
But I see what you're saying now, Joe. 10,000.
They're both the same now.
Yeah, 10,000 is the number.
10,000, at least 10,000.
First one says and, so if it's greater than 100,000, you know, and 10,000, that's 10%.
The rules throw
that. How did you mean 1 and not 2, or not 2 and not 1?
The rules throw that percentage in there, and I think that's where...
But it wasn't meant to be...
Your suggestion to make them equal has made the second question obsolete.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to figure out since the last one. You know, why couldn't we roll it into one, since you look at your total, you look what percent trucks.
Let's look at an example where you've got 100,000, or say 70,000 total AABT with, say, 20% trucks.
Well, that's not what it's saying anymore. I think that's what we discussed last time.
That's 14,000, so I guess that's not a good example. Something that would have well over 10% truck traffic, but it's still going to fall under 10,000.
Well,
I think
that's
we would want to look at that.
Well, not solving that, but that's not good. 1 and 2 now are reflecting the exact same criteria. From one's an absolute number, one's 10% of 100,000, which is 10,000, so they're ended up doing the same thing.
They're consistent. The question is, now they'd be consistent. The question is, do they do both?
Now they're going to put it.
Yeah. What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's what I mean. Do we need a vote, or do we need to have
some?
I
Joe's saying.
Maybe we can do, we're saying it in one.
Yeah, the and in the first one covered it, and that two was supposed to get what Mike is saying, what if you're over 10%, but still under 100,000? Well, that's not what two's saying anymore. One and two are saying the same thing. One's just saying a number, and one's saying a percentage.
I would agree.
And the number of percentage happened to be the same.
So maybe we eliminate two and go with one.
Or,
well, my question.
But is there a need for the or statement?
We got a problem right now.
I'm just saying that the CFR throws that percentage in there, and there's got to be a reason for it. I think at the higher you go up in total AADT, the more significant that 10% becomes when dealing with truck traffic.
In my comment, I had some brief conversation, and the idea of putting "and" in there made sense to our folks. But the whole idea is it comes back to what is this group, how are they going to measure significant?
I mean, to make two distinctive, maybe you say whenever diesel truck traffic is over 20% and AADT is over.
But really,
50%, and then you're at 10,000 and get into it. So that 50,000 is throughout there. But see, if you need to say it so that whenever truck traffic is over 10%, but what if that over 10% still is 1,000 a day? That's not sensible. So that's why I'm saying one to two are now saying the same thing. So
is there anything
to calculate high percentage of truck traffic? You'd still have to set a threshold for annual daily travel, and that's what one is doing.
Does anybody think it's not a good thing if we do recognize one and two as essentially saying it's listing the same criteria that we narrow it down to one?
Yeah.
Is everybody okay?
Yeah. Unless you find a way to envision what Mike's saying, we're solely on a high percentage of diesel trucks. You trigger it, but that could be a construction yard where 100% of the vehicles are trucks, but it's still only 12 a day. Or, you know, some other project. So I think that's why there's both thresholds in one, unless we want to establish something different. I'm just saying right now, there's no sense of both. And I thought last month, you were trying to encapsulate this thing.
I'm wondering
if it's a high percentage of diesel trucks.
That's still a barrier.
I'm wanting to make it easier for the project sponsors to just
make it one.
Well,
use the first one and use just 10,000.
Yeah, use trucks, and it makes it more restrict. I mean, it makes it stricter.
The 10% is already included.
I don't know why we had to. It was just slightly off. Because it had the order.
So if we have 80,000 and 40,000, which is 50% of that is truck.
That's significant.
Okay.
And that's not encapsulated by it is, but that's why 1 and 2 was supposed to say something different.
Exactly. That's why one had "and" and the other had "or." So one would be triggered.
So in essence, I mean, right now it's 100,000. If you don't get to 100,000 ADT, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
But what we're thinking is, okay, well, what if it's 90,000 but 20% trucks,
yeah.
or yeah. 30%? Yeah.
And that's what two is saying. So maybe it was intended to be more for a reason. So maybe we leave it now. Oh, back to square one, where you brought a situation where it's 11.5%, but only 4,000. You consulted with us, and perhaps we say this isn't significant. But I think the way it was. Has two separate questions with it's proposed now.
Say you've got a project sponsor that is working on an EIS that doesn't send it to me to review, and I don't catch that stuff. They submit that EIS to Federal Highway, and Federal Highway would have to say, where is your discussion of hotspot analysis, whether or not a hotspot analysis is needed in here. If it's not in there at all, obviously they can
fix it.
But they can direct that project sponsor back to, you need to consider whether or not, you need to put something in there showing that you considered whether a hotspot analysis was needed or not.
Well, and Lubna brings up a really good point because we see this, we have a monitor just north of here in the North Riverfront area, Grand Street. That has a truck port in the area, and because the monitor is right on top of it, we see some of the exceedances. We're trying to figure out what to do.
But what if you were to build a truck port where you had barge loading trains, downloaded a truck, and you had 4,000 trucks a day, but almost all the traffic is
those trucks. Are, you're giving examples of the main reason for
right, so that's why we need the two, not just based on 100,000.
Okay, Mike, what if we stopped it and dropped it in number two, got rid of and at least 10,000 trucks? Just say, if you're over 10%, you got to come talk to us. That would cover the situation if we have a project that's only 60,000 ADT, but you got 20% trucks, so you've got a lot of trucks, but it falls below the criteria so number one.
I agree with that. Maybe since 10% of the large amount is above, maybe the truck traffic is greater than 15 or 20.
Whatever.
But I think that's what I got first.
The other,
that's my first one. If it's ever so high, maybe we should look at it. And then if we see it's a truck port with 12 trucks a day and it's 100%, then that's fine. But if it's 5 or 10,000 and it's 40% trucks, like Lucas said.
What the numbers are most critical if this group is trying to define a significant number of trucks?
A significant percentage of trucks needs to be looked at.
Is it, well, I understand, but say you had a...
But it has to be more than 10%.
Say you had 50,000 ADT, and it was 20%, it's 10,000 trucks. If it was 15%, it's 15, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Is that significant? Is the percentage really driving it, or is it a total truck?
Mike said starting, it's the trucks we're worried about. So
No, I mean the percentage of trucks versus the total count. Or is it the number you're really looking at?
Well, I think it would be the percentage of trucks, because you could have like Hayes Fall Street, you know.
But the number is still low. Which drives it then in the final decision making?
It has a
need to look at it. That's what we're saying.
Fall Street's a small road carrying an incredible number of trucks.
But not that many trucks total.
Oh yeah, it carries overwhelming.
No, I don't mean that. What I meant is you have a high percentage because of the low traffic total count.
200 or 500 a day is total from the area, but that's nothing like 100,000 for an
interest. Let me ask a question.
Just like you said, he has a monitor down there, and it goes off even though we do not touch any of these thresholds.
Yeah. That's a hot spot. That area is a hot spot.
That should be a hot spot.
Okay. And a lot of it's PM10 because of the dirt on the road and what they're hauling. PM2.5 is driven by the truck emissions, diesel emissions themselves. PM10 is driven by what they're hauling. The trucks kick up dirt so much more than cars. So dirt that's already there from other things. So I'm talking PM10, we only have to do this with PM2.5. But the point is still there. The trucks are much bigger emitters.
It would be really nice if we had some kind of minimum number that, as far as the hotspot analysis was done, and some kind of minimum number that we could...
Which we consider to represent significant.
If you're doing a project that closed area, but a very localized area, and the project's catering to trucks, like a truck port, then there could be a problem based on the percentage, not the
terminal.
Yeah,
that's my concern, is that what you, the example that you use, you don't want every project sponsor to have to be done. And I think some of the things that we do is kind of a, I don't want to say one size fits all, but you don't want to have a sponsor, I think, you know, either do it wrong or at the end of the day, you know, somebody can come in and say, well, you know, your policy is this, and I'll, you know, have any opportunity for somebody to come in and, you know, maybe file a lawsuit or something. I mean, I don't think our intention is that, but I'm just saying, I would be afraid that our volume's so low that the truck is so low.
Well, I think that leaving it up to a discussion of the interagency group kind of protects us there, doesn't it?
But I think by removing any number, and just having a percentage, that you open a whole new universe of people who will have to come before this committee. And I don't think that's the intention. And I know in Chicago, I turned to Mike and said, how many hotspot analyses have you been done in Chicago or have come to the committee?
Half dozen.
So I don't think you want to have a lot of projects come through here. I don't think that's the intent.
I was not to bring in a lot, like Eliana, you're familiar with. It's not a big volume, but the percentage is very high.
In those situations, so they went ahead and did a hotspot analysis. What was the outcome?
Well, they're doing it right now.
There's six of them. Have any of them ever caused problems with the project?
Let me qualify that by saying that in the old days when we were first doing them, we were doing the qualitative analysis.
Right.
This quantitative analysis is a whole new game.
Sure.
And could change.
Let me ask the transportation people, like I'm traveling from Jeff City, as you guys were here, 70, 64. What on those type of interstates, what percentage?
It's greater than.
I know it's greater than. It seemed like knowing this came up, I started noticing that the hours I was traveling, everybody's already at work. And it seemed like it was over 50% of the line one.
Those are existing interstates. We're not going to be considering.
Right. I know. I was just curious what percentage you would spend on. What's the average?
Those would be hot trucks. And that's what I'm saying. Those would be the examples of roadways.
I know it's average daily, and I was going with the semis are moving and not the car truck. I don't seem like it had to be over 50%.
You know, on the truck, only parking lanes in the supplemental EIS document that was done on 70, I don't recall hotspot analysis being done on that. And that percentage must have been huge.
So I guess what I'm saying is like...
But that's an existing road.
It doesn't matter. Make sure it's the abnormal percentage.
If they're reconstructing something on the same alignment, it talks about, like here, it talks about new highway projects that have significant number of diesel vehicles.
New highway projects.
Well, and expanded highway projects that have a significant increase in the number of diesel vehicles. So you got new and then you got existing. So if you're going to reconstruct all
so
of
you got existing, but it's talking about adding,
expanding,
not adding what it currently is.
Or increasing volume. So if there's already high volume, it just looks like a delta.
Yeah.
They're just doing a resurfacing.
We're not talking about a resurfacing. This is a reconstruction.
It's a reconstruction.
But it's reconstruction along the same alignment, the same
length. It's not adding.
They're adding truck lanes. Truck lanes.
Okay, well then that's different.
That's what I'm saying. I don't recall a hotspot analysis being done on that.
Might not have met the criteria.
Sometimes
adding a truck lane is a safety issue, not a capacity issue, on the hills.
Is it in the non-attainment area? Because we're talking
only about the hills.
Only a very small breadth.
You're right.
And not just that you're adding truck lanes, to maybe provide more space, obviously, for the current trucks. But if you're putting in an intermodal facility nearby that's going to increase the volume of trucks coming through, here you're just accommodating the trucks better.
I think it's anticipated
increase in trucks. This is the argument that we would be having if a project was brought in front of us, the interaction that, is going to justify whether or not we make the recommendation to have that project sponsor spend an extra $50,000 on a hotspot analysis. Is it going to tell us something based on the ones that we've done in Chicago in the past? Now, I know the quantitative way of going about it is new, and we don't have a lot of background there. But from what I'm hearing around the country on this stuff is that any of the hotspot analysis that have been done, very few of them have come back to have any negative effect on the project that they've done.
You could say that, someone could say that about why do we got to go through this EIS process? At the other end, it's going to come out, we're going to deliver.
It's got to be done, and that's why
it's got to be done.
It's got to be considered, and that's why we're developing this document. But keep in mind that our expectation is that very few of these are going to come.
And historically, that's the way it is.
So if we make these changes, the ones that we have up here, we would still have the projects, those big projects, those mega projects, would still come to the interagency group for what we're doing right now.
For discussion.
Of the product.
I don't know, I'm still like one in fact the way it was with the order now. I'm like one and two, I've done.
leave it alone? Is that what you're saying?
Just go back to the law.
What about the 10%? Because that in the number one would be 8.
You know, really, when it, saying go back to the or, that's how it, that's dragged me out of the CFR. So.
Well, we were discussing it made sense. Now, after our discussion, it kind of does make sense.
So Brad, your question of what you made, if it's 125, then the threshold is 10. It could be 130, 140, right. The percentage
is but in 10 is 8%.
But the two different questions. But the by making it consistent, you're making the same question. You're missing.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
You're missing. Well, the reason we did it in the first place, in case it's high truck, regardless of ADDT, well, not regardless, but minimal of the ADDT. Like the example we had, it's 12% truck traffic with only 5,000.
Yeah, you have to go back to treating these questions independently.
And that's maybe why they should.
It's not a progression.
So I said 125,000 on the first question. And
just leave it.
Leave it the way it was. Yeah.
So let's apply. Let's leave it the way it is, and then apply the South County connector numbers. Question number one is ADT 125,000.
Well below that.
It'd be no.
I don't know what the exact number is.
So it'd be no.
Right.
So then you come down to 2, and it'd be yes.
Yes, on 11.7.
Yes.
But
so that would come back to the
then you look at or at least 10,000 trucks and find that it's only 5,000 trucks.
But still, they'd send it back here, then we'd have that discussion.
Well, then we can say it's less than 10,000.
Don't worry.
Brings up the question.
This is Stephen Brown again. I think the key here is because we know that there are spots out there that may or may not fall into this category, but I think the increase, what are the increases of those spots? I think that's the key that's missing that I'm hearing.
Right. No.
Should there be a definite trigger? Mike was saying. Is this qualitative?
Thank you, Mike.
Qualitative.
Thanks.
Sorry, I got
to go.
Okay.
Well, can I ask one last question?
Maybe what we ought to do is, maybe I should table this for further discussion.
I think we're close.
I think we are too. I mean, all that's going to do is start it over again.
So should we leave it at this?
Here's the deal. If we leave it like it is, and the next example that comes up, we find that, you know, this isn't working, we'll revisit it at that time. But, you know, I think the what's on the table now is just to leave it as it is, and I'm fine with that.
You know, remember when I asked the question, this only tells you, doesn't trigger a hotspot analysis if you answer yes to this. It does trigger you sending it back for the consult.
Right.
Then I asked, that'd be nice if then when it comes here, what are we gonna look at?
Well, that's back to a qualitative analysis.
Well, what I'm getting at is if the answer is we look at these.
Yeah.
Then this is really.
Yeah. Look at
the South County connector as an example. It says 11.7%. So it's brought back to us. Well, we with all of our background knowledge on what hotspot analysis are for and what they do and everything, understand that 11.7 really isn't as big an issue as the 5,000 trucks.
Right.
And so we would say no. And they vetted it through this group. I think that's all the better for your signing on the EIS.
What happens then if it's 3 that kicks it back to us?
Well, there isn't.
What do we do then? That's our criteria.
If it's 3 that kicks it back, I think you're... If I'm the project sponsor, and I have a facility that...
After all the improvements, is still a DERF,
yeah,
right?
Then
what do we console?
Then you're going to have to do a hotspot analysis. I don't think there's...
Why send it back to us? All I'm saying is if it meets any one of these, and we're saying that's the only criteria we have, but it looks like with 2 we have some flexibility. But with the other ones,
let's say we've got a affected facility that's level of service F, but it's a local road that has very little AADT, and you're not going to spend $50,000 on a hotspot.
So again, what I'm getting at, is there some other criteria that might help this group to guide us when we do get one sent back to us?
Well, I think the criteria is the collective knowledge of this group.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's our recommendation could be just to involve a fish up the way at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that it's got to be, it's got the final call.
It is FHWA that has the final call, but for us to get to this point, the consultant would have already have vetted this through EPA. And the bottom line is, when Federal Highway Environmental folks are at that point looking at the final draft, that's already been vetted through EPA. So this would have to occur prior to that, or if it occurs after it's already been vetted through EPA, then why would they be sending it back to us? The timing of this, I guess.
That's my Henderson. If we leave it as it is, you said it reflects the 40 CFR.
Pretty much.
And that's pretty much guidance. It says this is an example. I understand that. Yeah. But does the 40 CFR say consult the IDCG, or does it say it triggers a hotspot?
When you bring up legal issues, if you vary much from that CFR, I could see there being questions maybe raised. But if you stick pretty close to the CFR and adopt it as a group.
My question was, does the CFR, it has these numbers as guidance, but does it say if your question criteria one is triggered, does it say consult with the group, or does it say
no.
That triggers?
No. I think
what does it say?
It doesn't say anything. I put that consult with IACG on all of
so those. What does CFR say? It just puts the question there by itself as a criteria?
Well,
CFR is guidelines, and we've got to adopt our own.
I know, but I was just asking, how does it present the criteria?
Without the consult with the IACG.
As if it would trigger it on its own there.
I'm looking at 93.123 A and B, and if that's what we're looking at, it doesn't have these numbers in it.
Isn't it
8%
125 and 8%, Mike? I thought it was 125 and 8%.
You may be right.
It is. That's from the guidance.
Yeah, the original one.
The guidance. It's not in the.
It's not in the. It's not in the CFR.
No, it's not in the. It's in the patient conformity rule. It's in the guidance for how you.
Yes.
There's also a caveat in there that says these numbers are for examples.
Yeah, and they don't want you to just.
And each region needs to develop.
And that goes back to the IT.
And that's where the question first came up, that we didn't have something like this. So that's why we developed this document.
So I think the guidance assumes that the IG group has established the criteria. And then the IG group is making an effort now to establish the criteria.
So but that's established it.
Yeah.
We're talking about amending it now.
Right.
Well, again, if you establish this criteria as triggering a hotspot analysis, it's one thing. But this criteria just triggers sending it back to the console to the IGF. So that's why I said, once it goes here, do we have
some criteria? I think if you're a consultant and you answer yes to any of this stuff, it behooves you to come to us.
But aren't we saying that this is the criteria for a hotspot analysis? Mm-hmm. We've already set this criteria. Why go back to
what I'm saying?
Right, you're talking black and white. You're in black and white territory. You want something that you can look at, and if it's 1.7% as opposed to 10, you want to say, well, that right there requires you to go and do a hotspot.
No, well, that's what you guys said, though. I said, what's the criteria? This is the criteria.
That's why we put consult with IACG, so we can put some rationale.
Hey, Brad. This is Stephen Brad again with Region 7. If I might add, you're exactly right, but it should go back to the consultation group, because no matter what you do here, you're never going to exactly narrow it down to the exact number that is going to be needed. It's so hard to define. So what it would do with question one, let's say for instance, it would kick it back to the group. Let's say you had an area with greater than 125,000 AADT. And let's say that you have a project coming in there, that doesn't necessarily mean that you would automatically do the hotspot analysis. if it didn't increase the traffic that's already existing. Does that make sense? So that sparking that conversation and what the consultation group decides is pretty much the way it's going to go. I mean, and that's why it's there. And it's vague in the guidance. It's not real vague, but it doesn't narrow it down that far because it's so hard to define an area of that nature. So that's why we're having problems right now trying to define it, because it's so hard to define. It's really, you're really never going to narrow it down that far. You'll get to a spot where everybody feels comfortable, especially after you do it a couple of times. But it is supposed to go back to the consultation group to decide how much of an increase from that area. So you can't say if the area had more than 125,000 to begin with, and let's say 10,000 of those are diesel trucks, it's already like that now, and you're in a non-attainment area, but what's the project doing to it? Is it increasing it, and how much of an increase? Those are the questions that need to be talked about. And then deciding, well, it is an increase, and it's a big enough increase, so let's do a hotspot analysis. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes all the sense in the world. Do we need, would there be value in differentiating between, so you can cover that increase? So to let the project sponsor know that it's an increase. It's not a total. It's not a total percentage of it.
So what do you suggest?
I don't know, but I agree with you there. That's why I asked that question in that role playing thing I did. Is when it does come to us, then when it kicks it back to us, then what are we looking at for each one of these areas to ultimately give the thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, that's where you get some of the experts involved that know about modeling and that know about screening, and to do a top-level screening just to look at the area without spending a lot of time on it. And then also common sense, and then whatever common sense that the interagency consultation group decides, because if it's not going to be a significant increase in truck traffic, and you do have that area that's 10,000 ADT of trucks, you know, 125 total or whatever, 25,000, and there's not a significant, let's say it's only 400 or 500 trucks, you're really not going to, I'm going to say, hey, that's not a big increase. I don't think we need to spend the time on it.
The group will make that decision. Yeah. I agree with you.
You've got a good point. Because
kind of a mixture of both common sense and a mixture of maybe a top-level screening with people that are familiar with modeling and such. So
he's got a good point, because, like, my example is an area where there's no projects being done, and it's already a hotspot. So if you were to do a project here, you could be alleviating the situation, but you'd still be creating the hotspot because it was already one. So you have to look at the deltas and the change in traffic. So that's even to the point. I was mentioning examples of areas that I already know are hotspots. We've never done any projects. Those streets are industrial, so they'll probably never undergo projects for it. But if you did do, you could actually be alleviating the situation, and your hotspot analysis should show it's a hotspot based on what's already existing. But we only need to look at the increasing capacity or the deltas.
That's been a question with me since this first started. Was, you know, most new road projects are meant to alleviate air quality.
Right.
I mean, improve congestion.
Congestion mitigation.
You know, reduce bottlenecks, eliminate bottlenecks, stuff like that. So.
So with the South County.
That's why very few of these issues ever come up. Rightfully so, because
right.
That's what projects are supposed to be.
Congestion
mitigation. But sometimes you have new infrastructure or new building projects or intermodal facility, or you have a facility that isn't always the case. But not 99% of your projects are there to increase capacity and reduce congestion.
So with the South County Connector, we consider that to be a new highway project. Or would that be an expanded because it's building an interchange on I-44, which is already
there? There are new aspects and expansion aspects of that. I mean, that project.
So how much of that?
The EIS encompasses more than one project.
How much of that 11.7% is new? Are we considering it all new because there's no interchange there now, or that other four-lane section that's being put?
Yeah, how does it compare to four? I mean, obviously, you know that they will come, so more trucks.
We need to ask the project sponsor about that.
But I mean, transportation for me in general is.
I don't know, when they went to get the VMT data, I don't know.
At that location, there's no interchange today. If there's going to be interchange in the after, is that all new?
I think it is, but I guess exactly what Courtney said, at that point, we involve other people who really know what part to direct us.
Yeah, is this going to bring more trucks to the area?
Because, for example, like this case, it's 5,500, even if it's all new or partly new, partly old.
Well, I'm assuming it's all new, because it's a brand new interchange.
This is all new. There's an interchange and there's a four-lane new segment.
That's new.
So that all this truck traffic volume may be, is it all new? And what does that mean? Does that make a difference?
I don't think it's all new.
No,
it's Mainland Road. We've already got.
We got a lot past it, right?
We've already got a lot of the well-established industry on that route.
But now they'll be directed to that interchange. It'll be new.
Well, that interchange will have new traffic. But what I'm saying is that the area, the project area, I don't think it's going to.
There's traffic already going through.
Right.
But it's not going through that interchange.
Right.
It makes trucks travel that area more smoothly and efficiently. And instead of them being stopped in line, stop it.
Exactly.
Enter the transom highway. If that's the case, then it's beneficial.
There's some
if it's building an interchange bill because there's a truck court going in, then that's bringing trucks into the.
So let's say that we left it at 2, and now we got the South County connector, and it comes over because it went over the 10%. Then that's the kind of discussion this group would have.
And that's why I say we leave it alone. And
yeah.
Like,
we would leave that alone real quick because the numbers are so low.
Well, you'd have those questions about how much of it is new.
Do we leave the 10% alone there then in 2, or do we change that to 8?
I think we leave it alone.
Okay.
All right, so my question is, this South Connector project kind of brought this to light in exercise case. Are we going to see it as a group?
You know what's happened to it, if it comes
back.
Because that one triggers number 2, so you have to see it.
So they'd have to provide us the EIS document.
No, I think we've already.
They already sent their, we had that at the last meeting.
Okay.
Their document that showed the 11.7, and it was their write-up, their quality write-up.
Okay, so as a committee, I guess my question is for resolution or getting it done with it. Are we saying we don't believe that it needs this threshold and go forth? Say, are we missing that last piece?
Was that already a decision made last meeting?
What's that?
That it was, didn't need a cost analysis based on it was below $10.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned at the last meeting that I felt comfortable in this situation with 11.7 being over the 10%. With the fact that it only amounted to 5,500, that I could come to the interagency group and we could determine that it would require a hotspot.
Reality is probably not whole.
So in that situation, I go back to the project sponsor and they in their write-up say just that it was 11.7. So. They go move forward now. When it gets to Photo Highway, you say, what about this 11.7? Well, we talked to Mike Henderson, who's part of the interagency group. And
did you take it before the interagency group?
Well, just that's where I'm going.
If so.
They probably just need to do that.
Is it worth that?
Yeah, I mean,
bring all their in. And they're willing to do it. They were willing to come in. They were set up to come in last time to talk about it. But,
right.
Do we want to force them to do that?
Well, what's our expectation with this criteria? That they would take it back before the full interagency group for vetting? If it is, then they probably should.
I think we're kind of informally at the last meeting.
Unless you already did.
In a way. I don't think we voted on it or anything. I think we just laid it out there and then we said, well, this.
Everybody
problem with our language in our document, and so we just got into the discussion again and more.
Kind of the qualitative versus quantitative. If they come before here, then they qualitative.
We just assume that problem has been taken care of.
For whether they're forced to do a quantitative or not, so they have to do the qualitative one to show that you don't need a quantitative one.
that's the next discussion.
What's that?
That's the second issue we're going to...
The qualitative and quantitative, yeah. Yeah. We still haven't gotten to that.
So to answer your question, then where are we at? Are we going to consider the IG group has looked at this and has indicated that there's no hospital analysis to do? Because if we are, let's just make that call right now.
Well, and it should be probably reflected in minutes. And the other thing is, I don't know that we have a vote structure. I don't know that we have quorum today. Is there such a thing? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
What was that second?
And whether or not, do we have a quorum? Is there a...
How do we move it out of here?
Move forward, yeah.
We could just, I think we're fine with the group we have, and just say it's...
You want to
discuss it?
I think we
discussed it last month, and there was no great opposition.
So you want to put it to a vote?
We're going to leave it as is, right?
Yeah, let's vote on it.
Let's just get it done right now.
To leave it as is.
I thought we discussed it last month.
Somebody wants to make a motion to leave it as is.
We're talking about...
This month's discussion was to leave it as is. As a result of us discussing South County, we said, at this point, do we want to amend the criteria?
I move.
And I say we leave it because it worked like it's supposed to. We brought it up last week.
That's one thing. And the second would be to approve the South County, say the South County connector. The group does not believe it needs a hospital.
We did that last month, and that's probably...
Why don't we go with the first one? We leave the definitions the way they are. We have a motion for that?
A motion.
Second. We have a motion. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion stands. Now, on the South County connector.
I make a motion that we consider the South County connector project as not requiring a hotspot.
Second.
We have a second.
Second, and I thought that was discussed last week, but we pulled up the minute.
I don't think it's...
I don't think there was no...
That was the problem.
It's discussed now. Now, quickly, the qualitative versus quantitative, and I'm going to get back to Stephen on this also. But my understanding is that a qualitative analysis was something that was required prior to the new requirement that a quantitative analysis be done. And the footnote at the end of the CO portion that says, if no, a qualitative CO hotspot analysis is required under 40 CFR 93. If yes, then do a quantitative analysis and consult EPA to lose it. I think the motion is to remove that footnote. Steve, do you disagree with that?
The two hits, both hits.
Carol, do you have any?
From that 2012 presentation, when we had hotspot training, sideshow, section 93.123 requires that all projects in CO areas have a hotspot analysis. Certain projects must have quantitative analysis, others either quantitative or qualitative.
Okay, that's what we were looking for. So, but the way it's put up there, I don't agree with it. As a footnote down there, after you go through all this stuff, and then to say, well, you're gonna have to do a qualitative analysis anyway, it doesn't work. So I think we move that
up to the top.
Make it a statement like you just read right there at the very beginning, and then if you answer yes to these projects, you're gonna have to go a little bit further and do a qualitative.
So now it starts off saying a hotspot analysis will need to be done in the CO area.
Just like she just
whether read. It's qualitative or quantitative, these are the criteria.
I don't think from a federal highway perspective, I'm not sure that we would agree that if you answer no to the four for the qualitative, the quantitative, that would be it. You don't have to do it qualitative.
Stephen, what did you come up with?
This is CO.
Yeah.
Stephen?
I was trying to look at that right now. I was investigating that during our little shutdown. So a lot of people were out taking some extra time during that from OTAC. So I was just looking at that in our regs, not in our regs, but our guidance, actually, the transportation conformity for quantitative hotspot analysis for CO. So
here's what I'm going to throw out there from our project sponsor on this, South County Connector Project. They weren't too upset about that. I mean, they were planning on doing a qualitative analysis just based on our guidance from this. So evidently, it's not going to require that much extra effort. To put some examples of reasons why this wouldn't require a quantitative analysis.
So
it's eliminating a bottleneck, or it's reducing congestion.
The CO area is about half of the same Southwest area of Missouri size.
It's basically the city of St. Louis.
No, it's not. It's inside the 270
loop.
Okay. So that's a good portion of the county.
And this project is partially within that.
Yeah, trying at 270 probably. So it straddles the line. We're already doing that. We have lots of projects in that area. And so every single one has to undergo a CO qualitative analysis. And it's not triggering any problems, because the reality is, as an air quality guy, I'll tell you right now, I don't have a problem being very strict with CO analysis, because there's never going to be one problem. CO is going away because of computer control of both diesel and all combustion sources are complete combustion.
So
you think it's okay with that?
I say it's okay to do them. They've been doing them without any problem. I say
continue. And the project sponsor indicated the same thing. But I would suggest that we move that from
I can't imagine the situation
right up front and say qualitative, just like Carol read.
Yeah, because in the 93123, it's got, you know, your four questions up there, and then it has in cases other than those described in the four questions, the demonstration required may be based on either quantitative methods or a qualitative consideration. So
I think these criteria trigger a quantitative method, although perhaps we continue to do the qualitative, and that's kind of what it says now. So.
You know, when you read that paragraph, in cases other than those described in paragraph A1, would A1 include the IIII-IIIV? Those aren't cases other than that.
Yeah, those are your four questions.
Yeah, cases other than that, it can be satisfied by either or.
Yeah.
In cases with this, then it's quantitative.
By saying,
but if it doesn't require quantitative,
perhaps it's just everybody needs to rethink how to phrase that, to reorganize it so it makes sense to a project sponsor, and it's not just a footnote at the bottom or a.
Well, it's important though, because it's.
Well, what I'm saying is we just need to rethink how we state that so that it's clear to everybody what we're talking about.
And so far, though, I'm hearing it hasn't been a problem. So if it ain't perfect, fix it, because they already know it. But if what Carol's saying, and make it more obvious as the project sponsors, then I say reword it. If they already know that they have to do a CO qualitative analysis inside the 270 loop, and they're already doing it, maybe don't change
it. It amounts to an extra paragraph or two.
Okay, well then draft a fix and look at it. But I have no problem with forcing CO qualitative analysis. I don't think CO is ever going to be a problem. You know what they say, where there's smoke, there's incomplete combustion.
I think it comes down to if the IG group for this region is going to, it wants to make sure that there's either quantitative or qualitative. It's going to be one or the other in all projects like that, I think, project level quantity, then that's the prerogative of the IG group. I guess what I was saying is that if the IG group wanted to go with it, it doesn't require the quantitative, then there's no qualitative needed. I would say we'd be okay with that.
Based on what Joe just said, there's no problem.
Right. There's no problem. I think, you know, what Carol's reading says to me, we leave it the way it is.
If they're already doing
a qualitative analysis, if they don't trigger these four and they're not having any problem with it, I say we leave it. Is there a way there could be a problem? Maybe. That's why I'm CFR is saying we have to do it. I can't think of one, what I know about CO controls now.
But we have the ability.
Combustion controls issues.
Within our group to say, like you said, CO is a thing of the past where we don't have any problems with CO.
CFR is. So since it isn't a problem, just continue writing their half a page qualitative analysis on each project and move forward. I don't know if it's appropriate.
If that's the case, Joe, could I go ahead and substitute the qualitative and just write that half page and don't do the quantitative?
Well, you got to do quantitative triggers these points with the CFR.
You've got to look at those questions, and if you answer yes to any of those, then you have to do it.
Then maybe it is. That CO maybe is a problem, but those are the four criteria that will determine it. That more depth will need to go on. My question for you. Does the project affect one or more of the top three intersections in the non-attainment maintenance area? So say it did affect one of the top three. The chance of someone actually being standing there all the time to receive the CO, which is fairly localized pollution. So one thing, the bigger the intersection, the further away the problem resident sits with people. So that one's already exists, so I can't change it. I say, you leave and move on. Someone decided if it's one of the busiest intersections, you look at it for CO. All right. So that's already there. Then when you look at it, you find out, and then they do the hotspot analysis, they find out it isn't affecting anybody. So I say we leave it and they do it if they have it.
It's good that we're vetting this out and doing this.
If you have the top three intersections, then it's okay if you're going to house
it. Rental freedom. If that's the case, then leave it like it is if it's so bad.
That's what I'm saying.
It's point blank. I mean, if it doesn't require the quantity, I just see the quality.
Didn't have to put no, just had to give no on it qualitative, but you can also do quantitative if you want to, if you're crazy enough. Or just leave it alone.
Is a qualitative analysis required regardless of what?
On
every project with
the I don't think our headquarters air quality people would say that.
What, that they're always required a qualitative?
Yeah. I don't think they're not gonna say that. They're gonna say that the quantitative, if you determine that a quantitative analysis is not required, it doesn't trigger a qualitative.
I thought that's what you gave me credit.
No, it says here.
Again, we have the ability to make the rules for our region. If we decide, under 40 CFR 93, we leave it in the questions, and then we're done.
You always say pursuant. I mean, just have them, just incorporate our reference 40 CFR 93123, call that our title.
The South County Connecticut EIS are waiting to see what we do with this.
Haven't they already done it qualitative?
No. They haven't done it yet. They in their document that they gave us, it said we will do a qualitative analysis if it's determined that it's needed.
The quantitative wasn't triggered.
Well, this says it is. This right now the way it is, it says either do a qualitative or quantitative.
So
at this point, I'd say they need to do a qualitative. That's what this.
No, sir. So now, 40 CFR say you can get out of it. I thought it was saying
that
you have to do one or
the other.
I'll triple check that.
But the question is, even if I triple check it, if we think it's
going to be it as is now.
Well, we haven't been a problem so far. If someone says it's a problem, qualitative analysis, once again, then we can discuss it. Right now, I'm hearing that this goes on all the time and no one's complaining.
And what would be the harm?
But that's why I'm saying. Let's make it a policy that if it's going on all the time and people are having to do it, but it's not
a big consequence. I think it's warm and fuzzy under 40 CFR 93123A2 to do it, the qualitative.
If there's an issue, if there's an opportunity not to require qualitative, if they don't hit on one of those criteria for a quantitative, but this IG group, and because of the state of practice, the IG group for this region says that we think they're at the very least, there's going to be either a qualitative or a quantitative. We can do that.
Well, I think we need to review criteria. I was saying that only because I thought it was a criteria that he gave.
The rules, the regs.
He's not real clear on that either, right?
Say that one more time, sorry.
You're not clear on whether or not...
No, I was reading the guidance, or not the guidance, but I'm reading 93.23 right now, and I'm about halfway through with it, and the way they wrote this is you've got to go back up, and it's kind of confusing, so I'm going to have to kind of sit down with this thing. It's been a good 30 minutes trying to decipher, because they reference back up a couple of times, and... You know, there's a section in here that also indicates that you can do some modeling in lieu of hotspot analysis to satisfy the qualitative part of it. And I'm not done. So, yeah, you're right. I need to sit down here. I need a little bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, not the either. EPA and Federal Highway can come to a categorical conclusion that
hotspot
that in these certain situations we're not going to worry about. I think we also, as the interagency group for this region, that's what we put these documents together for, is to take out redundancies and make things run as smooth as, take care of things that we know we don't want to see all the time because it's going to be the same thing.
Right.
So, Stephen?
Yeah.
I ran this by, but I did it very quickly, and I haven't seen the response that was provided to me, because I sent it out late last night. But at first glance, the windshield response back to this would be that if they go through the criteria for a quantitative and they answer no to all of these, that they don't have to do a qualitative.
That is my understanding, yes.
So I'll double check with them too, and why don't you do your look, take your look at it. But with that said, even if the feds say, yeah, but it'd be great, but still this group might say, it's working, but we still want to qualitative.
No, I'd be happy with that if that's what they're saying. I'm just, how do you reconcile that with what Carol did?
Well, it goes back to this paragraph too, in cases other than those described in paragraph A1 of this section. The demonstration required by 93.11.16, that must be your project level performing, maybe based on either quantitative methods that represent reasonable and common professional practice, or a qualitative consideration of local factors. But it references back to in cases other than those described in 1 through 4. What about in cases when it is 1 through 4 and it's no? That refers to something that's outside of the box, it seems like. So, yeah, that's an odd read, but we'll
research that for it.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I don't have a problem.
But we will say it's working, and why not change it? It's working only in the way that they're going ahead and doing it.
Okay,
if we don't have to require it, why would we not?
I agree removing those ifs if we don't have to require.
But when you do say this, we gotta remember. I don't know historically hotspot analysis at the NEPA level, going through this criteria, vetting it through EPA, and our environmental people really on top of this. I don't think we can say that that's been a reality to begin with. So you say something.
We haven't been doing anything.
That's what I'm saying. So you can say it's working. I don't think it's been working real well.
It hasn't been working at all.
So we can't go off historical. So
okay,
where we go from here?
We've come a long way. I mean, we've got to.
That's why I said let's not change it to streamline it if we were doing it.
Why don't we move on and just say we're going to leave it the way it is right now?
But we got to make a call on what we tell the project sponsor in South County. So I'll get on this very quickly, and so can Steven. But can I ask the group this then? Since South County Connector project sponsor and Federal Highway are looking for direction in regards to, should we pull the trigger? We'll do it. We'll put together a half-page qualitative analysis for you.
Is that what they normally are, or are they bigger than that?
I can't imagine anything being done at a half
page. I've
never
seen one.
Except
for the Mississippi River Bridge.
No.
And that entire hotspot document was what? Three pages.
There you go, that's an example.
That was the entire, that wasn't just the qualitative analysis, so it's probably less than that, but.
See, that's what I'm saying. Well, I thought we said, when I asked the question, they're already doing it for everything inside the 2-7.
No.
I thought I said that, and you said yes.
This is,
It might have been, are they?
Let's back it up, though. We're saying.
We haven't done a hotspot analysis on anything.
Policy.
Let's back up.
Quality.
Let's back up. We're saying that.
That's what you're talking about.
I think as a group, we're saying that the, project sponsor on the South County Connector does not have to do a,
Quantity.
Does not have to do a quantitative analysis for PM 2.5. We need to have a motion on that, agree to that.
We do.
I'm not following. You're talking about CO here.
We're talking about CO here. We never did.
We never,
say anything about.
We had a first and a second, and we never voted.
You had a motion that you never acted on.
No, we had.
No, we voted.
No, we had a motion.
They don't have.
We had a motion.
Two motions in a row.
And they were voted on. Up, thumbs up.
No, we had a motion on the, we had the motion to leave the PM 2.5 criteria.
That was a thumbs up.
That was thumbs up. But we never did settle on.
Whether or not the
particular project.
South County Connector project.
Required a hotspot. I thought we did.
A PM 2.5 hotspot.
I made the motion that Joe's not.
I thought we filed.
Then we went on to this.
Oh, should we vote now?
Oh, yeah, hold on.
That was our discussion, right?
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, okay, motion carries. Thank you.
And now with that said, with that.
Because we're kind of.
I thought we were explaining on the whole thing.
South County Connector project sponsors, it wants to know if they're going to have to produce a qualitative analysis in connection with the CO for that project. It doesn't require quantitative. Now they want to know, because they read this, do we have to do a qualitative? So we're going to check to see for sure if it's required by statute or reg. And if it's not, if this group is, opinion of this group is, well, then we won't require it. Then what we want to do is get to that point very quickly so we can let them know that they don't have to or they have to.
And take that footnote out.
Yeah. If this group as a whole doesn't want to keep the footnote in and it doesn't have to be there, that's one thing. And then once we determine that, and if that's what it looks like, everybody agrees to, and we should have that done in not a short period of time now, then can we just go ahead without having to meet again?
Right.
And just simply then tell the project sponsor, you don't need to do a qualitative analysis.
Let me ask everybody's question. On these four questions, are these in the CFR questions as required, or are these also examples like what we were talking about earlier?
With the exception of if yes, consult IAC. Yes.
Yeah, these are in there.
Straight
out. So these aren't the examples like it was with the AADT for PM 2.5. Well, these are requirements for the CFR. So why didn't we just, under this section, like I said when we did hotspot analysis at the beginning, why didn't we just say this section is incorporated by reference 40 CFR 93.123, but the project sponsors go to this and every consultant who does it at the federal level will know what applies.
That's where we always end up, like we get on the regional significant document.
Yes, let's incorporate by reference so we're not regurgitating something.
But if that was
what these documents are good for is to weed out some of the gray areas and
do we have authority to do it under this? If these aren't examples.
I think we do. I think that's what the interagency group is for. That's why there's so many different agencies involved.
See, the CFR won't show
what's
that.
Best for the region.
It won't show the ADT.
Right, because that's an example.
See, yeah.
That's my point.
And I think we need to have it in the document just to make it simple for the folks.
Hey, Joe, the final call is going to come from Federal Highway. If they disagree with one of the policies that we adopt here, then they're going to come back and tell that project sponsor, we disagree with this.
Well, we look at this, Carol brought this, and when we look at this for our interpretation of what our document means, so I said, why doesn't our document just say, read the 40 ZR 93.
You know, and then we're done. Joe, if we did that, new highway projects that have a significant number of diesel vehicles require hotspot analysis?
Which number are you reading?
Well, you know how we have, what is the annual average daily
traffic? That's because that is an example. These are laying it out.
That's an example of...
These are requirements.
Yeah.
Those are examples, these are requirements.
But if they went to the requirement, we didn't have this as a...
So for CO, these are laying it out specifically, and all we did is regurgitate it. Now we're trying to interpret what this says. We're not lending guidance based on the region. We're trying to reinterpret this.
It's the age-old argument we've had with going through all of these exercises is, why do it? Because we dance around forever and then come right back to the regs.
But this, you know,
and it doesn't do us any good
for our region. This discussion isn't like our earlier one where we're setting limits that make sense for a region. This one is, how do we interpret 40 CFR 93.1?
Not Joe, it's how do we interpret a significant number? It's 93.123B. New highway projects that have a significant number. So we replaced that and plugged in some numbers.
Yeah, I was talking about the core criteria that Carol just served.
Because they leave it up to the we'll say the interagency group in the region to determine what's significant. And these numbers that we put in here is where
we
start to
get to that. When we get back to what is qualitative analysis required.
Well, that's what we're going to research.
And we have to research the regs. Not come up with our
own. Oh, yeah, we'll have that.
We could set our threshold 500,000 ADPT and have that as our policy.
You could, but I think we have
problems. The federal highway would come back and say, we don't know. That policy is. But they're on this interagency group, so they would have voted on it in the first place.
I wouldn't.
So, I wouldn't.
but that's what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Is that all agencies are involved in this, and it's meant to. This document and others, the regionally significant document, are meant to streamline.
Joe, the other thing that this document does is it goes beyond.
Anything. We're just going right back to the black and white.
But you don't want to go right back. The regs are the foundation, but they can't be our standalone.
That's right.
Because this actually encourages them to come back to the IG group, and there can be some discussion. And then we have some levels that everybody agrees to.
I think we're at a point where I'm hungry.
Okay, so am I.
And
how about I'll get back to the group. Steven and I collaborate, coordinate, get back to the group with how we interpret that qualitative analysis.
You have eight more that require quantitative, and in cases that don't need to be for you.
I'm looking at this now, and I'm trying to figure out what your guys' situation there was. If the area does qualify or does not qualify for quantitative, do they have to do the qualitative? Is that correct?
That's
Okay.
That's it.
Got it.
Yep. Okay. And the sentence in question is 93.123B, no, A2, I'm sorry, 93.123A2, in cases other than those described in paragraph A1, yada, yada, yada.
We've got that. Okay, guys. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Finally. I thought it was going to take 20 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.